We use that song as our prayer for what is coming next. Speak your words and have your way. As promised last Sunday, get into the top by faith, part 3. Really, it could be part 4, but we're going to leave it at part 3 and go with that. Our text again is Daniel 2, 47 to 49. It reads as this. Then the king said to Daniel, "Surely your God is the God of gods, and the Lord of kings, a revealer of mysteries, for you were able to reveal this mystery." Then the king placed Daniel in a high position and lavished many gifts on him. He made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon and placed him in charge of all its wise men. Moreover, at Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego administrators over the province of Babylon, while Daniel remained at the royal court. When this text was given to me, it was these three verses, 47 to 49. But I thought for the first two sermons, it was very important to look at what we call the backstory, the story that led up to verse 47. And we have spent 2 weeks looking at that. And this morning, I want to concentrate just on those three verses. And as we do so, we begin with this. Getting to the top by faith. How was it done? In other words, what was the procedure behind it? The steps that were taken, etc., etc. That's the question we're asking. And we're hoping to get the answers from those three verses that we've just read. We begin then. Then the king said to Daniel, "Surely your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, a revealer of mysteries, for you were able to reveal this mystery." So we learn from that verse simply this, that King Nebuchadnezzar recognized and acknowledged something of the God of Daniel working in his life. This is the reason why Daniel got promoted, because Nebuchadnezzar was able to recognize and acknowledge the God that Daniel worshipped and how he had impacted in Nebuchadnezzar's life through the revelation of this dream that he had. Remember, what he asked for was that people would, the wise men would be able to read his mind without him telling them anything, that they would be able to know the dream that he had in detail and to be able to interpret it. In other words, these men had to be able to mind read. Nobody could do it. But Daniel, through the power of God, got what the king wanted. So there was a recognition and there was an acknowledgement. That's how it happened. The king was in the position to promote, but in order to do that, he did two things. He recognized, "Surely your God is the God of gods." He knew from Daniel's input that this God that Daniel worshipped was certainly a way beyond any other God that he had experienced. And in the second part of the verse, "a revealer of mysteries, for you were able to reveal this mystery." And he was acknowledging that the mystery that the king had, he shared with nobody, that Daniel was able to understand it, but it was the work of Daniel's God. So there was a recognition and there was an acknowledgement of God in it. But all that came from what was very much a pagan king, very much a secular society. So see, the king was able to recognize for himself the hand of God in the situation, and he was willing to acknowledge it publicly. Now that rarely happens, but it happened on this occasion, and that's the record we have of it. What's interesting though about this for us is simply this. Are you able to recognize the hand of God with absolute certainty in any given situation without doubting it could be God or it could also be? So often I hear people saying this, "I think it's God, but it could also be this, 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 this." Any number of scenarios. Nebuchadnezzar was in no doubt, though he knew nothing about the God of Daniel, that this God, and he was absolutely certain that it was this God that was able to reveal the dream and understand the correct meaning of it. So getting to the top by faith, one of the things is to be able to recognize the hand of God with absolute certainty in this situation, without doubting. It could be God, but it also could be any number of other things. There was no wavering, there was no doubt whatsoever, and in Nebuchadnezzar's mind as to what was happening was the Daniel's God. Absolute certainty. And I think certainty is a very key thing if you want to keep moving along with faith. And there are times of where we need pretty much absolute certainty. We say, God is in it. There is no doubt about it. There is no other possible explanation. It was God. It could not be anything else. That was what got Daniel promoted, as we'll see in a minute. But it was the king's recognition and acknowledgement of the hand of God. Often, down through the years, I meet people and they say, it could be God, but it could also be a number of other things. I'm saying I'm certain. I wouldn't say I'm absolutely certain, but I'm certain. That is not where Nebuchadnezzar was. And there are times, as I said already, absolute certainty is very important. And sometimes, actually, it is vital to be able to recognize and acknowledge the move of God. Without it, we can be wavering back and forth and still not sure. So are you able to recognize the hand of God with absolute certainty? Without doubting, it could be God, but it could also be. That's the question that you can answer. That's the first thing that got him to the top. Second thing I see is this. See, promotion was not sought after by Daniel. It was actually given to him by the king. At no stage will you read in the story, and as we've looked at it, that Daniel sought promotion. He didn't chase after it in any way. Promotion was literally handed to him on a plate by Nebuchadnezzar, as you read there in verse 47. Then the king placed Daniel in a high position and lavished many gifts on him. He made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon and placed him in charge of all its wise men. Not sought after by Daniel, but literally given to him by the king. Often people seek after promotion. I'm not knocking that. But in this case, Daniel was not doing that. Indeed, the reverse is true. Actually, what Daniel was after was simply this. Daniel was not looking to advance his career by climbing a few more steps up the corporate ladder. He simply wanted to stay alive. Because, let me read 17 and 18 here. While in verse 47 he's been promoted, in verses 17 it says, Daniel returned to the house and explained to his friends. He urged them to plead for mercy for the God of heaven concerning the mystery, so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Promotion was the last thing that was on Daniel's mind. It is simply he and his friends wanted to stay alive, if at all possible. They were young men. So this was something given to him. All he asked for, all he was hoping for, was literally to stay alive. So getting to the top by faith was not something that was a plan of Daniel's. It was a plan of God given to Daniel and walking through Daniel, but it was not Daniel's plan. Indeed, Daniel sought to clarify with the king, the information and the insight he had to give the king was God given and not his. Look at verse 27 and 28 for a minute. Verse 26, then the king said to Daniel, also called Belshazzar, are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it? Now here's Daniel's chance for promotion. Daniel replied, no wise man, enchanter, magician or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about. But verse 28, but there is a God in heaven who reveals mystery. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in the days to come. Your dreams and vision that pass through your mind as you lay in your bed are these. And then he goes on to explain the dream that the king had. But Daniel at the outset sought very clearly to inform the king that the information and the insight that he was about to give to the king was given by God, and it was not his information, it was God's, which is quite remarkable. Because in the world, what we're taught to do is put our best foot forward. It's our moment to shine with our abilities and all of that, and to go for us so that we're seen in a very good light. What was important to Daniel was that Nebuchadnezzar would know that the information that Daniel was giving him was given to Daniel by God through prayer. And that was really, really important to Daniel. What you see in that is there's a complete absence of any form of self-promotion or self-advancement with Daniel. None. Daniel was doing absolutely nothing. Getting to the top by faith, seeing this as a promotion and making life a bit easier for him, was the last thing in his mind. Staying alive, if at all possible, was his only priority for him and his friends. The information that he had, he was very, very clear to tell the king it was God that gave it, and it was to God who get the glory. Quite remarkable. Complete absence of any form of self-promotion or self-advancement with Daniel. And that's part of how he got to the top. There was nothing of himself in it, in this situation. There was none of, well, if I do this, it may serve me, the king may see me in a good light, and I may be able to get some form of a promotion. He may see how valuable I am, etc., etc. Not at all. The complete opposite of it. So promotion was not sought by Daniel, but it was given to him by the king. Number three. Okay, applications. Oh, before I go, that he says, what drives us when we are seeking promotion? That's a great question to ask. If you're seeking to better yourself, it's not, I'm not asking this in the confrontational sense, I'm just asking in a very general sense, what drives us when we're seeking promotion? I mean, God has put ambition into us, it does drive in us, does all of that. But often, what is the motive behind it? Sometimes it can be very good, sometimes it can be negative. I do not know. You're going to have to answer that for yourself. But if you were to ask Daniel, the only drive he had was to stay alive. Promotion was the last thing he was thinking of. I think one of the things that drives people in promotion is that they're seen in a better light. That their value as a person and their contribution to society, etc., etc., is increased. And there may be obviously other rewards, financial and otherwise, than that. But their standing in the eyes of their peers increases. Their acceptance level and appreciation level goes way, way up. I think that's what drives, maybe not all people, but at least some people, to have approval and acceptance of others whose opinions really matter. Daniel didn't have that. Wasn't interested in it at all. Okay, number three. Promotion sought by Daniel was for his three friends. When we look at verse 49. Moreover, at Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, administrators over the province of Babylon, while Daniel remained at the royal court. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were part of the prayer emergency team that were formed to see if the God of Israel would answer their prayer so they could stay alive. Daniel was the man that got the interpretation, but all of them had praise. Daniel was the man that had to go in front of the king. But now that there was promotion, the only time that Daniel asks for anything is for his three friends. You see it very clearly. Moreover, at Daniel's request, the king appointed, etc., etc. Getting to the top by faith. Daniel displayed a complete absence of ruthless, self-focused ambition. This kind of thing of each man for himself mentality. Does not a sign of Daniel's self-promotion, self-advancement. And even when he gets a chance to do something, it's for the benefit of his friends. Complete absence of ruthlessness, self-focused ambition or this thing of each man for himself mentality, this kind of dog-eat-dog mentality, this kind of comparative thing that's there that can be absolutely ruthless, that is absent in the man Daniel in his heart. And actually what you see is the absolute reverse. His thoughts and his concerns are now for his three friends. And it turns out they did get appointed. They had been taken along with Daniel from Jerusalem way back by Nebuchadnezzar. They had been where they weren't. They never thought they would be. They were captives for all these years. They were in the school of training to serve in the king's palace together. And Daniel did not forget him when he was being promoted. Indeed, they were utmost in his mind. Inclusion was his priority in seeking his friend's promotion. You don't see that often in the world out there. Often it's every man for himself mentality, not for Daniel. But Daniel got to the top by faith. And when faith was the reason why, inclusion was just a natural part of it. When it was by faith, self-advancement, self-promotion wasn't even part of it. This was being given to him. But inclusion was his priority. Quite remarkable. I had not seen that before until I was studied yesterday. Application. What priority do we place on people who have helped us to get where we are? You see, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's prayers did help Daniel, did help Nebuchadnezzar. And we know the priority Daniel put on that, inclusion. But what priority do we place on people who have helped us to get us where we are? It could be, thank you very much. I do appreciate all your efforts, but it's time for me to move on and to go on to the next chapter in my life. And often what happens is the people who helped you to get you there are simply left behind and forgotten about, because it's a new chapter, it's a new stage, new set of people, new set of friends, etc., etc., etc. That is not the way it was with Daniel. Very deep searching questions, I acknowledge that. For many people, the answer is people use people to get where they are, and as soon as they've got as much use out of them, they just let them go and attach them on to the next bunch of people that can actually help them, or get to the next level, or at least stay at the level they're at. Not with Daniel. Applications. I have a few. Am I able to recognize and acknowledge the hand of God in any given situation? Especially if it's in relation to getting promoted or moving on or moving up. Because this is what this was about. The recognition and the acknowledgement came from Nebuchadnezzar. He experienced firsthand something of the power of the God of Daniel. And he knew that this God was able to walk through this man. And he was going to be a valuable contribution to ruling the kingdom. Very important to recognize and acknowledge the hand of God if God is in the situation. If we were to interview Daniel, how did I get to this position? His answer would be, Nebuchadnezzar recognized and acknowledged the hand of God and he promoted me. That's how he got it. Number two, who gets the glory if I get the promotion? You see, when you read verse 47, Nebuchadnezzar is actually giving God the glory. He's saying, God of gods, kings of kings. It was God that was giving the glory, even when Daniel was getting the promotion. So who gets the glory if I get the promotion? And often the answer is, it's the person themselves that gets the glory. Not in this case, with Daniel, it was God. Indeed, Daniel went out of his way, to advise Nebuchadnezzar that the wisdom that Daniel had was God-given, that he didn't have it himself. It was simply given to him. So who gets the glory if I get the promotion? Daniel will say, God gets the glory, but what about us? Very powerful question to be asking, really. Who gets the glory? No, the Christian answer, of course, God gets the glory, but often that is said, but sometimes it's not actually meant. I at the very least want to be able to share the glory or claim most of it if I can. Not with Daniel. Number three. Apart from me, who else benefits from the promotion? You see, so often we're trained in our career paths just to think and be self-focused for me, myself, and I. But the reason I ask that question, apart from me, who else benefits from the promotion? You see, for Daniel, it was his three colleagues that benefited. Often the case when someone gets promoted, who benefits? It is just the person themselves. No, there may be a few extra bob coming, you know, in the wage package or in the salary, and there may be a bigger car, etc. So it may impact the immediate family. But that's not really the question we're asking. For Daniel, it was his friends, his fellow captives, and his colleagues. They all benefited from Daniel's promotion, because he had an inclusion mentality. Often when someone gets promoted, those who have helped him are simply left behind. And we say things like, that person is going places, and I am where I am. Not with Daniel. But lastly, this passage and these three verses are primarily about this, which is a good thing to end with. This passage is all about how God can transform your life, your dire circumstances, in this case, facing death for Daniel and his friends, and bring hope that's almost beyond belief. 24 hours earlier, Daniel got a call from the army chief saying, I'm coming to execute you on orders of the king. 24 hours later, he is standing before the king, and now he is promoted to a very high position in Babylon along with his friends. So ultimately, this is how God can transform lives from dire circumstances, really, really bad, and bring hope that is almost unbelievable, or in this case, that's almost beyond belief. And this passage teaches that. Can God get people to the top? Yes, he can. And is it part of his plan for some people? The answer is, yes, it is. Even in secular government, in secular companies, etc. But when Daniel got there, he was able to recognize and acknowledge the hand of God. God got the glory for the promotion. And Daniel's friends also benefited from it. And the overall thing was the story of dire circumstances and God transforming to bring hope that was almost beyond belief. There are the lessons that I think the Lord wants us to hear and understand from those verses of Daniel chapter 2. If your ambition is to get to the top, whatever that looks like, or to improve yourself, I hope it is done by faith. And I hope you'll be able to acknowledge and recognize the hand of God. You better answer the question, who gets the glory? Who else benefits from it? And that you better see God moving in what was hopeless to bring hope. I believe they are the main lessons that this passage teaches us. A word of prayer and we'll move on. Lord, you have put in the heart of man to better themselves. And Lord, that is a God-given thing. We acknowledge it is a good thing in many ways, Lord. But Lord, we live in a world that has fallen. So it's possible that good things, Lord, can be driven by, Lord, sinful emotions or sinful attitudes behind it. So Lord, I do pray, Lord, that there are people who listen to this, whose circumstances have been dire. Lord, that as you move in their lives and you move into a place that is beyond any hope they had ever dreamed, Lord, that they be able to see and acknowledge and recognize your hand. That ultimately, Lord, you will get the glory. And those who were a help to them along the way will not be left behind. And when it's all said and done, they will to say, this is how God transformed a situation that looked so bleak and made it so good that it's almost unbelievable. We commit this message to you, Jesus, and say, you apply it to whoever you wish, in whatever form you wish, by your Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, Amen.